Good morning again. It's wonderful to see you guys this morning. Looks like the weather is becoming a little bit more unlike what I like. But there's still no other stuff on the ground yet, so that's a praise. It's wonderful to have you here. And, you know, this season always brings back a lot of memories, especially for me as a kid. I know, and I know you probably think about that as you're when you're kids, or even when you have kids, and how it just kind of brings everything alive. I've been reading this book from Max Lucado called "Because of Bethlehem," and he has a little story. When he was 4 years old, and Christmas was coming a few days, you know, maybe about a week away, suddenly there appeared to be a big box in the living room. And he says it was big compared to a four-year-old, all right? So, and then he was looking at it, and there's no names on it. So there's no person, nobody to or from. So it was a mystery. And, of course, when he looked at his mom as the days went by, she had a kind of incredulous look on her face going, you know, and he's thinking maybe his dad bought himself his own present, you know, because nobody else would buy it for him. Sometimes I'd like to do that myself, you know. Have I ever done that? I don't think so. Not yet, anyways. But anyways, as Christmas came, you know, they were tearing into their presents like all kids do and enjoying their time. He was enjoying time with his brother playing with the toys, or his sisters were opening packages. And then there's none left except for that one big package. It really wasn't anything remarkable about it. It was just plain old paper. There was no bows or ribbons or anything on it. But then, you know, his mom asked his dad, he says, well, aren't you going to open this present? And then he had started to get a little twinkle in his eye and a little smile on his face, to where he went, it's not for me. It's for you, honey. And of course she went, oh, for me? Well, then she started to take the package, you know, rip it open and open up the big package. Well, she got rid of paper, things flying every which way, and then there's another box. And then she gets that, and she opens that up, and then there's another one. And then it kept on going about two or three times until it got to a special little box. And she opened that box, and there's a wonderful ring in there declaring his love for her. And of course, as a child, he didn't really understand that, but he did see the big smile on his mom's face going, thank you, honey. You know, so, and he was thinking about that. And, you know, it was an unremarkable present, really, nothing except for the size of it. But he was saying that he found out that a remarkable gift can arrive in an unremarkable package. It happened in his household. And you know what? 2,000 years ago, it happened in Bethlehem. See, from the Father in heaven, from the throne, he sent a special gift, unremarkable, born in a manger. Nothing special about him, no big entourage or fanfare at the birth of his nativity. But in that unremarkable gift, that package that the Father sent, became the most remarkable gift ever given to mankind. And that means us as well. And it's wonderful. And that's the way it is. And some people say, well, Christmas season, you know, it's a time. It's a time where God continues to show his relentless love for people. And as Will was singing that song, you know, he's talking about this love that God's shown. It even kind of sometimes looks reckless, you know. And I just call it relentless because it just never stops. From that Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve decided to go the wrong way. But God loved them even before that. And that love hasn't changed. Ever since then until now, God's love is the same. He's shown it to us in different ways. And he's shown it through his wonderful Son that he sent. And we're going to be looking a little bit more about this unremarkable package and how remarkable it is for us. And remembering that one scripture, I think we all know in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, and that's not just, oh, I believe in God. No, this is a trusting belief. This is a sold-out belief. This is a commitment of belief. Those who believe, whoever believes in the Son, shall not perish. See, there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's what that is. And that's this wonderful gift that he has given us. Let's pray before we continue on. Father God, thank you for your love that you have shown us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And thank you for your word that reveals it to us from the beginning of Genesis all the way to the end of Revelation. You're an awesome God. And your love is wonderful. It cannot be grasped. It is limitless and unfailing. It is a love that changes people. It changes me. Just thank you for that, Lord. Bless this time. Bless your word. May you receive all the glory in it and empower these words by the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And some may ask, well, why are you calling it a remarkable love? Why is it remarkable? Well, this morning we were in Ephesians 2:1. If you ever looked at that, I'll just turn to it. But this is one reason why it's remarkable, because it's the state of our condition before he came into our lives that we actually received this wonderful gift with an open heart. See, we were, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions, your trespasses, your broken relationship with God. See, the relationship was broken in a Garden of Eden between Adam and Eve. With Adam and Eve disobeying God. And also, really, truly, the relationship between Adam and Eve was broke then, too. Everything was broken. Everything became corrupt at that sin of pride. And these sins kept going. So it says, and you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, which is the devil. Right? The ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So we are, as we are disobedient and we reject this gift that God the Father has sent us, then we are following another master in our lives. And that's the enemy, that's the devil, who speaks to us and tempts us and changes, just blinds us from the truth. He has us live in darkness and we walk in that. We walk in our own pride and our own strength, trying to do our best. As we were saying this morning, even as Christians, we try to do and do and do and make God pleased with us to make us better in his sight. But no, we can't. It's all on him. It's in Christ that we have been saved. And by Christ's power, we are being changed to be more like him day to day. By his grace, by his powerful work in us, not by what we're doing. It's just what we do is just a fruit of what he has been doing in our lives. We were a mess. We were dead. If you read on in Colossians, we're enemies of God. If you go to Romans 5:8, you know, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's how God the Father showed his love for us. A motley bunch, each one of us. Not deserving of anything, rather than just his wrath. We deserved his wrath. We deserved judgment for the penalty of sin, which is what? Death. And it's not just a physical death, but it's a spiritual death. It's a separation from God for eternity. I don't want anybody to be there. And neither does the Father. That's why he sent his one and only Son as his unremarkable, in an unremarkable package, in a cradle, in a manger, in a little town of Bethlehem. Because he knew that his Son is going to give us a remarkable gift. A remarkable gift that will save us. And a lot of people say, well, what is love? Well, some people describe, well, there's many types of love. You know, there's that motherly love, right? Don't cross a mother bear. Don't cross Mindy. All right? Or any one of you mothers. All right? Or there's that affectionate love, the romantic love. There's all different type of loves. People love their cars, love their pets. But this love is different. See, God's love is relentless. It doesn't fail. It's powerful. It works powerfully in us. And if you looked at 1 Corinthians 13, you have a description of what that godly love is like. And all the power and wonders of who he is. Love is patient. Woo! You already got me there. I'm already gone there. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Oh my, that just wiped out a lot of fun for me. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. What is truth? As we found out, it's Jesus Christ. And all that agrees with him, his word and creation. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That's love. An undying love. God's love. And certainly it's changing our lives and our hearts, those who are following Christ at this point, to show this type of love as well. And then as a good shepherd that Christ was, or still is, he says, you know what? A good shepherd. I'm a good shepherd. I'll go even further. I'll show you what love is like. I'll lay down my life for you. See, a good shepherd lays down life. Now, if you're just a hired hand, when the wolf comes to get after the sheep, you don't go after the wolf because you can get eaten up yourself. Nope, he runs away. But the good shepherd stays there and he lays down his life. And that, remember a little bit later on when Jesus says there's no greater love than this, that one should lay down his life for his friends. And then he called his disciples his friends. So if you're a follower of Christ right now, if you believe that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, you are a friend of Jesus, and he laid down his life for you to show his friendship to you. And then he asked us to do the same for him. Maybe not the physical, sometimes it might be a physical because the way we follow him in obedience, some people do give their lives up. And sometimes it's just giving up everything that we want. And a sacrifice, sacrificial worship of God. To empty ourselves like he emptied himself when he came as a little baby. Can you believe that? Is that, that's remarkable in itself, isn't it? The God who created the universe is Jesus Christ, who's part of God, the Father using him and just, you know, speaking life into the whole universe. And then he shrinks him down to a little baby and sends him to earth. That's rather amazing to me. Actually, it's impossible, but we know with God, all things are possible. You know, I wanted to read this one thing from page 135 here in Max's book, because it really does show this love. It says here, let him love you. This is Max's writing. If God was willing to wrap himself in rags and drink from a mother's breast, then all questions about his love for you are off the table. See, you might question some of his teachings or some of the history of Jesus, his resurrection, his death, his resurrection. You might be questioning all that, but you can't question his love. You might question, oh, it says here, you might question his actions, decisions, and declarations, but you never, ever question his zany, stunning, unquenchable affection that he has for us. The moment Mary touched God's face, can you think about that? In a manger, on that night, and as a mother will do, to caress her child's face, to touch him. She's touching God's face. It's beyond me. But that's the love that he's shown, that he came. Mary touched God's face is the moment God made his case. There is no place he will not go. If he is willing to be born in a barnyard, then expect him to be at work anywhere. Bars, bedrooms, boardrooms, brothels. No place is too common. No person is too hardened. No distance too far. There is no person he cannot reach. There is no limit to his love. Those are wonderful words. So, remarkable love? Yeah. Amazing love. Changes life type of love, because, you know, a lot of us like to think that, yeah, we remember our first love. You know, it might be, you know, somebody when you're, and, you know, met somebody in school or at work or whatever, but your first love, you always remember your first love, don't you? Right? I know some people think of some of their first vehicle. And that becomes like a first love for them. And they go, oh, I remember that GTO. Zoom, 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 you know. And sometimes I think they love the vehicles more than the people around them. You know, that first love is precious. God turns it around on us. Did you know that? Because there's no one, not one of us, nobody in the history of this planet has ever sought God. No one. No one. See, it says here, God first loved us. He pursued us. Relentlessly. Recklessly. He pursued us and found us with his love. And then because he loved us, he first loved us, now we can love. Love others. See, you can find that in 1 John 4:19. Going back, you know, I had Bruce read that passage there in Luke 7 about the sinful woman. I don't know. Maybe this sinful woman might have been that woman that remember, all these people brought this woman and stand before Jesus, and they were ready to stone her, and he said, you know, you can toss the rock at her, but you have to be without sin first. It might have been that lady. I don't know. But whoever she is, she had an encounter, such an encounter with Jesus that he showed her a love that she's never experienced in her life before, that changed her, that brought forgiveness to her that no one else could give. Only Christ can forgive sins. And as Jesus was teaching that one Pharisee, and he's saying, well, two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and another 30. Well, neither of them had money to pay it back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which one of them would love him more? Well, let me think. 30 and 500. Well, I think the person with 500 is going to love that master for forgiving his debt even more than the other one. And it goes back to this woman. She comes in. You know, she had her hair down, not done in public. That's a no-no for a woman to let her hair down in those days. And then she comes into this presence of all these people, these Pharisees, and under their scrutiny and judgment. Humility coming for Christ with something that probably she probably hadn't hardly any money, and this all this money was wrapped up in this expensive perfume. And then she anoints Jesus and she wipes her tears and all that going on. Humbled. From the time I entered, Jesus said, she has not stopped kissing my feet. I like to kiss somebody's feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. A caution for us, right? That first love. See, God has been calling us to know him. We've been studying in the book of Exodus for a while now, and one of the things that keeps on coming out of what God tells the people, you know, around them, the Israelites and the Egyptians and Pharaoh himself, saying, know me. I am the Lord. Know that I am the Lord. And knowing him, it's so crucial to beginning to love him. Christmas is coming. Oh, the joy of, do you like unwrapping presents? I do too. Do you guys? Do you like unwrapping presents? There's something about you just grab that present. It could be pretty paper, you know, because remember, Max is, you know, that in that story, you know, what happened is it was so unremarkable, but make it pretty for me. Because I like to grab it and shred it, and then get into that box and just chocolate or whatever it is. You know, whatever it is, a Dallas Cowboy shirt, you know, things like that. Okay, you really look forward to that. So unpacking this remarkable gift, see, it's a reversal. Did you know that? See, the remarkable gift that God gave us, it is impossible because this is what happens. See, Max's mom, you know, from big to small, but you know what? God is totally opposite. See, you start unwrapping a little box and beautiful things start coming out. And your heart starts getting taken. But all of a sudden, it just starts to get bigger. As we know him more and more, as we trust in him more and more, as we give him more and more of our time, as we humble ourselves before him, knowing that he is God and we are not, as we know him more and more, the boxes just start getting bigger and bigger. It's impossible, isn't it? This little box, oh, another one, bigger one pops out. You unwrap that one. Oh, yeah, more. His love, his truth, his hope, the joy, the peace. It just gets bigger and bigger. The more you know him, the greater that box gets. In fact, it gets so great that no box can contain him. And that's our God who loves you. So why are you whimpering? Why are you complaining? Why are you silent? We should be rejoicing and standing firm in a faith. We should be seeking God if we don't know him. We should open our hearts and admit that we are nothing without him, that we are sinners, and we need his forgiveness. And just like this woman, and if you think you're worse than this woman, there's nobody that he cannot forgive. Right, Andrew? No one. I've met so many ugly people. I've met so many beautiful people. None of them are too ugly. None of them are too beautiful to be saved. Because he's an awesome big God. His love is perfect. It is unfailing. It is filled with grace. That saves us. That saves us while we're still sinners. And then we can go and love others. See, Christmas time is this. Christmas time is really this. When we finally give our lives to God and we start to surrender more and more and we're opening more packages, he's getting bigger and bigger in lives. See, when he starts loving others through you, that's Christmas time. That's Christmas time. That's his love of Christ moving through us and touching all those around us. The gift that we have received by grace is a gift that others can receive by grace as well. Going back into history here, in Psalm 89, and I'll end it with this. This maskil from Ethan, the Ezrahite. Listen to this. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. Get to it. Start unwrapping those presents right here. Those gifts are right here. Start unwrapping it. Give your heart to the Lord. And then it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. As we pray, as we're in word, as we're in fellowship together, as we are iron sharpens iron, as we talk about the Lord's word and discuss it and share it. As you share and serve others, the gift just continues to grow. Don't leave yourself out of that. Don't go into self-pity or self-denial or whatever. Get real with the Lord. Even us as followers of Christ, we need to get real with him. You know, put him, you know, to shift our thinking to where he has the highest value of anything else in this world to us. And have a sober mind towards ourselves, knowing that we are nothing without him. And we need him. And then looking to others and how we can comfort and help to love them with the love and the power of Christ. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this wonderful gift of Jesus Christ, a remarkable gift an unremarkable package. Thank you that you have shown us so much love. And a hope that comes with that love, and a truth, and a peace, the joy that we have in you. It's remarkable. It's unfailing. It's unending. And so may we live it. And if we are not there yet, Lord, I pray that you'll open our hearts to the truth of who you are. And that we'll invite you into our hearts. And that you'll show us how great your love is for us more and more. As you have loved us, may we love others. And may we love you. Draw us near to you. Bless us, Father, to be a blessing to others with your great, wonderful, precious love. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, and all of his people say, amen.